Chapter 2. That old setting hen is just going to have to take care of her eggs with no help from me, Mom said, coming into the kitchen through the back porch. Jethro padded along behind her. Turning from the sink, I noticed she was rubbing her hand. Did she peck you? I asked. She nodded. That's the last time I'm going to give her a chance, though. I was just trying to see if any eggs were broken. She didn't understand, I guess. Laughing, I hung the dishcloth across the sink and wiped my wet hands on my jeans. Reaching under a hen whose mind was fixed on becoming a mother was not something I would want to do. The angry look in a chicken's yellow eyes and the sharpness of a hen's beak were enough to wilt any good intentions I might have. You have a beautiful new house with all the very latest in a lovely kitchen, but you had to have that flock of laying hens and a rooster in that pen out back, I teased. And indeed, this home was lovely. We had mulled over the builder's plans for so long that our new two-storied beauty with the wraparound porch was exactly what we both wanted. Thanks to Dad's insurance policy, as well as my husband Jake's life insurance, money was not a problem at the moment, but it seemed odd not to have a job. I still freelanced for the Dallas Morning News, but that did not require a lot of time. My mother would always be a country woman, whether she was rich or poor. She loved the country life, and to be honest, I felt the same. I gazed out of the kitchen window at the sun-warmed herb garden which meandered into the surrounding woods. The gray-green leaves of a mullein plant moved as a spotted leopard frog jumped under them. We tried to disturb nature as little as possible with our presence and just enjoyed the wild creatures that lived here with us. The house sat on a knoll overlooking Lee Creek. A long driveway twisted between centuries-old trees and crossed a picturesque wooden bridge as it wound its way to a detached garage in the back. The house had plenty of storage and two fireplaces, one in the downstairs guest room and one in the living room. It boasted a bright and well-equipped kitchen. Nestled among cottonwoods, oaks, and maples that grew in happy profusion throughout Ventress County, it was my idea of a dream come true. After my husband Jake died more than a year ago, I left Dallas and came back to my hometown of Levi, Oklahoma. I wanted peace and quiet and healing. Although I had seen very little of the peace and quiet, I kept hoping. The healing was slowly taking place, thanks in large part to Ventress County's tall, slim, red-haired sheriff, Grant Henley. Grant had been my first sweetheart, and quite unexpectedly, those long-ago feelings were kindling back to life. The sunny morning directly contrasted with the stormy and strange night with the spooked stranger. My mother and I had stayed up after his visit because we were so wired we knew we couldn't relax enough to go back to sleep. Consequently, this morning my eyes felt heavy. I'm going into town and check on the house, I told her, heading for my purse and the keys to my Ford Escape. Our house in Levi, where I grew up, sat empty now that we had moved. I kept close tabs on it, though. It was a dear place to me because it had been my childhood home. I'll pick up some fruit juice to make the punch for our housewarming while I'm in town. Is there anything else we'll need? Pat is bringing dozens of cookies, Mom answered. It does seem like a lot of hoopla, but several people have asked about our house. It seems almost like bragging to me or showing off, but I'm happy for our friends to see where we live now so they can come and visit. I hope they feel as welcome here as they did at our old house. I'm sure they will, I said. A housewarming is kind of like a welcome party for everyone. I hope it won't be raining. Although you'll have to admit, a storm like the one we had last night might lend atmosphere. Mom sniffed. I can do without that kind of atmosphere. I almost forgot to tell you that Pat called and said our new preacher is looking for a place to stay. She was wondering whether he'd want to rent our house in town. A new preacher, huh? Unless he has a big family, he really won't need a house as large as ours, but I guess a preacher would be a good renter. Quiet, no wild parties, hopefully pay his rent on time. Leaning against the counter, Mom grinned at me. Well, for goodness sake, let's hope. The small church we attended looked like it was straight from a Norman Rockwell print. It was made of wood, painted white, had a belfry, and, believe it or not, a bell that rang each Sunday morning, calling the faithful to worship. The pastor, a dear, elderly man, had recently retired and left on an extended vacation to Florida. Our congregation was limping along with lay preachers until we could find a new shepherd for the flock. Wait, Mom stopped me as I was going out of the door. Will you check in with the Jenkins sisters? They have some herbs they want to give me and add to the ones I've already planted. She chuckled. Miss Georgia is determined that I should make my own herbal tea. Sure, I said. Our new relationship with the Jenkins twins was one of the most surprising things about the last few months. Even though our closeness with these two ladies had deepened, we still referred to them as we always had, Miss Georgia and Miss Carolina. Lee Creek gurgled under our wood bridge with a lot more enthusiasm than before last night's storm. Driving into Levi, I noticed several branches off the trees, but no real damage that I could see. The fragrance of green, growing vegetation wafted into my car. Summer's heat had not yet laid an oppressive hand over Ventress County, and the world looked newly washed and bursting with the energy of July. After I checked on our empty house and got the herbs from Miss Georgia, I planned to have lunch with Grant. My heart quickened, thinking about Levi's handsome sheriff. I could hardly wait to see him, although it was only a couple of days ago that he had been to our house for supper. A movement caught my eye as I neared Old String Road, glancing in the direction of the tumble-down house that had belonged to Old String, our local recluse and hoarder. I saw smoke curling up over the treetops. I braked and peered through a tangle of vines and tree branches. My breath caught in my throat. Flames flickered along the sagging roof. The shack was on fire. Swinging off the main road, I sped to the ramshackle building and stopped a few yards away. I jumped from my car and trotted nearer. What had started this inferno? Had lightning struck it during the storm? And had it smoldered all night? It had been vacant since Old String died, and would be no great loss. Surely the trees and grass were wet enough to keep the fire from spreading. Still, perhaps I should call the fire department. As I walked closer, I made out a smoking roof. Yes, I had better call 911 and ask for the fire truck. Those low-hanging tree branches could possibly begin to blaze. Coughing, I swatted at the thick smoke stinging my eyes and throat. I did not see the body lying on the ground in the tall grass until I stumbled over it. My heart hammered into my throat as I dropped to my knees beside the crumpled figure of a man. Lifting his bony hand, I felt for a pulse. Nothing. Life no longer beat within this human form. A ragged, reddish-brown splotch stained his shirt front. I got slowly to my feet, staring down at the pale face, stubbly beard, and beak-like nose. I had seen this man once before, only a few hours ago.